This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Jason Mackey's First 10, a quick hit podcast to get you ready for the day. Today is Friday, June 28th in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which means your questions, my answers. Always love this one. First, want to remind you that we're sponsored by the North Shore Tavern. You don't have to be a baseball fan to love it there. The interior is wall-to-wall pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day across from PNC Park. The North Shore Tavern, it's Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Let's get right into it. Got some great Penguins questions coming in. Important with them starting their offseason in earnest tonight, I would imagine, the NHL draft and stuff about to pick up. Really excited for that personally. But anyway, Stats and At asks, do you expect the Penguins to address the defense via player acquisition or bank on a Graves-Carlson rebound in year two, with the biggest move on defense being the addition of David Quinn? A really smart, nuanced question, by the way, and I think it's going to be more of the latter. David Quinn hired to oversee the defensemen. I don't think that was a huge deficiency of the Penguins. I mean, it was certainly a shortcoming, but I think it was more roster-related than player development-related. I don't see any huge additions being made externally. I wouldn't mind them. I wouldn't mind a few nips and tucks. I've been saying the left side of their defense needs a little bit more. Maybe that comes in the form of P.O. Joseph, not totally sure, but I think they're somewhat limited in what they can do. But David Quinn's responsibilities, and I'm not going to stew too long because we have a lot of other questions here, but fascinate me. I wrote that this week. Does he work with the power play? We don't know. He's obviously going to have to work with the defense. That's an area of the Penguins that needs to be improved upon, but it's also team-wide. The goaltending can be better communication with the goaltenders, forwards tracking back to help. That has obviously not been a strong suit of the Penguins, playing with the puck, protecting the puck, et cetera, and having guys playing where they should be playing. So I am eager to see what they do this upcoming season defensively, Erik Karlsson being chief among that. All right, really like this one. BB at B underscore B 1229 asks, if you could take one guy from 2015 Pirates and add him to this current one, who would it be and why? This got me thinking. I disqualified Andrew McCutchen just because he's already on the team, so I can't do that. I went with Starling Marte, and here's why. They need an outfield bat. I would love Marte's legs on the bases. I think he would fit extremely well in this lineup. I went back and looked at Marte's numbers. I knew they were good, but 153 games, 287 average, 780 OPS, 30 doubles, 2 triples, 19 homers, 81 RBIs, 84 runs scored, and 30 steals. I would take that in a heartbeat on this team. Now, somebody might push back and say, why not a pitcher? You always want pitching. Fair. Gerrit Cole, I guess I didn't realize this. It's one of those things that you knew that you maybe kind of forgot, that the Pirates had two 200 strikeout guys that season with Cole and Liriano. And maybe I take Cole. I don't know. 19-8, 260 ERA. 202 strikeouts, obviously a fantastic year. But, you know, if I'm looking at Skeens, Jones, Keller, you want a bounce back from Falter, of course. But I would look at this team being more deficient offensively, specifically in the outfield, which is what led me to Starling Marte. Jung Ho Gung was another intriguing one. And again, in our little fictitious world, I would imagine that that player is eligible to take the field and there are no off-field concerns, which there obviously would be with Jung Ho. But if we're looking just at that 15 season and whether it would help this current group, Jung Ho was in that discussion. But I ultimately went with Marte. Awesome question. Love that. Marty Caridi asks, and it's at Marty Caridi, C-A-R-I-D-I, asks, how does the manager front office rationalize the Sunday lineup in the third game of multiple series yet constantly talk about urgency? Fair question. I don't know if I have a magical answer for you. They certainly... they're at odds with one another. And I understand why fans say there is no urgency. What do you mean there's no urgency? This is what you're doing game three of a series. Notice they didn't do that in Cincinnati and they won the series. I think some of that though has become a place to put frustration with what the Pirates are doing. And I would look at you know, the two previous times where they did that, they sat Andrew McCutchen, Connor Joe, and Nick Gonzalez. The second time, Connor Joe's been really going through it in June. Nick Gonzalez was in a cold snap at the time. Andrew McCutchen is 37. Like, he's going to sit day games after night games. That's not weird. I think at least the next to last time, for me, the bigger issue, because those guys did pinch hit, the bigger issue was that there's not better options to start with, and people want to see a better constructed offense, which is completely fair, but it's not all the fault of the lineup in the final game of a series. Now, the previous time, or the first time I think that Marty is talking about this, Derek Shelton doesn't do anything with those guys. They sit on the bench in key eighth and ninth inning situations, and that can't happen. And then you talk about urgency, and you're not showing urgency. But I think there's always been a bit of a disconnect between what the team is doing on the inside and what the results say. They work so much on hitting and all that, and it's not to explain or rubber stamp the results. They haven't been good enough, but it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of trying. I think, you know, Andy Haynes gets blamed for certain things, and sometimes it's guys not listening to what Andy Haynes is telling them. And I understand fans on the outside, they don't care, nor should they. I mean, that's the whole idea of being a fan. But it's just a different way of looking at it, inside versus outside, which is probably way sideways of Marty's question. So I'm going to shut up. Mike Edwards at Mike BC Edwards asks, can Jack Sawinski get back on track? Got a couple questions here about Jack, and I did want to address that. I like Sawinski a lot. I feel a little bit guilty because I've been critical, although that's my job, so I'm not going to really apologize for it. But he's looked really bad at the plate for a large part of the time since he's come back here. I mean, there's been times where there's been a little bit of an uptick, and I'm frankly surprised with what they're doing with him and how it's gone. The last game of the homestand, we were in the clubhouse and I'm looking at Jack Sawinski's locker and it's cleared out. There's nothing in there. Apparently he packed extremely heavy for the road trip. I don't know. And I'm surprised that they're just allowing him to continue to go through it at the major league level. I think there's a good hitter in there. I think there's a good kid in there. I think there's somebody who's working really hard and has all the talent in the world to do this. I mean, you don't run into as many home runs as he has early in his career by accident. But is this the best place for him in the major leagues? And that's what I start to question. That's what I don't totally understand and why it makes sense for him to do it here. Like, I think they rushed him back to the major leagues from what he was doing in Indianapolis. He was still going through it down there. Swing adjustments and whatever, the results had not necessarily started to turn. And I forget what the injury was that caused him to come up here. Maybe a leak. It doesn't matter. I mean, you have to allow a guy to take the time that he needs to get right. If that takes 2 months, shoot, I don't care. I would rather have that version of it. And I don't totally understand Jack being up here with sporadic playing time when he clearly needs to work on some things. Okay, two more questions. These are really good, by the way.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Mitchell Ross at the Mitchell Ross asks, if you can pick only one Pirates All-Star, who is it? Skeens, Keller, Reynolds. Those are probably their candidates. I think that's fair. Can I have all three? Well, I can't, I guess, if he's asking. You got to pick one. All right, let's narrow it down a little bit. If you're going most likely, I think at this point it's Keller or Skeens. And I think there's a possibility they could get both. Skeens is going to be marquee viewing. Keller has, numbers wise, been absolutely outstanding, better than he was in his previous All-Star season. At least he was going into his last start. Haven't checked since, but he's been darn good. I wouldn't have a problem with either one of those going. The most deserving, though, isn't it Brian Reynolds? No, it's a shame, because I was looking at the voting yesterday, the thing that came out, and among the top 20 outfielders in the National League, Brian Reynolds is not there. But if you look at the three most productive outfielders in the National League, Brian Reynolds deserves to start. That's how good his June has been. That's how good his season has been. OPS, Reynolds is third. Total bases, Reynolds is second. Extra base hits, Reynolds is second. Total bases, Reynolds is first. 152 total bases. Nobody has more. He's been on an absolute heater. You can make a solid case that Reynolds deserves to go, but I'm not sure he will, which is unfortunate. All right, last question. Robin Cross at Clamps 10. What's the expected return on Tristan Jarry? We don't know. Part of me doesn't think they're going to trade Tristan Jarry, and it's probably a sizable part of me. I wrote this column maybe earlier this week. I don't remember, but to me, it's too early to turn the page to Ned and Joel Blomquist. I don't necessarily understand that. If you look at Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson, et cetera, how the Penguins are built, and how I think Kyle Dubas is going to go about improving them. They're going to bring in a couple, established players to help them win now. How does it make sense to turn things over to somebody who's never played in the NHL before and a guy who's been a career backup? And I love what Ned did. It's not a criticism of Ned. That's also not your question, Robin. So I want to focus on the return on Tristan Jarry. If they would do something, here's where I think they have an opportunity to improve their roster. I was asked early about their defense. That's an opportunity to get a defenseman and balance out their left side. If you look at their top four right now, and this is something I think is sneaky important with the Penguins, they're just kind of hamstrung right now. Marcus Pettersson obviously is going to play top 4 minutes on the left side of their defense. Great. Chris Letang, Erik Karlsson on the right. They need to fill that fourth spot. And trading Tristan Jarry would be a way to do that. My confidence level on Ryan Graves filling that role is not great. It might be higher on P.O. Joseph, frankly. And they threw a bunch of stuff against the wall last season to see if it would stick, and it didn't. But anyway, the expected return for me, what I would be using this for, is you need probably a top six winger, frankly. I mean, I'd like to see those spots competitive. I think Riley Smith is probably a goner. I liked what Drew O'Connor did late in the season playing with Sid. I want to see more of it. Brian Rust is obviously going to be in that mix somewhere. Same with Michael Bunting. I would not want to see them get rid of Rickard Rakell. I think there's some possibilities there. I think he started to find his game a little bit more. I was saying earlier in the week, I want to see what he looks like. Clean health, put him next to Malkin. Like, that's probably my second line to start. Rakell, Gino, and Bunting. But anyway, if you trade Jarry, if you have to make that move, and probably going to backfill on an NHL caliber goalie, but I'd probably look to do that more via free agency. But in essence, you probably want a hockey trade. All right, guys, thanks so much for watching this all week. Have some really exciting sponsorship news. Can't wait to share next week. I don't think I'm allowed to say it now, but we're very far down the line with something. It's going to be cool. It's going to be, it warms my heart to do it. I think you all will be very excited about it, and we'll roll that out on Monday. Make sure in the meantime you like and subscribe. You can get all of this content and stuff from other Post-Gazette writers and columnists. We are so happy to provide it for you on our North Shore Drive podcast network. And we'll be back here on Monday talking a little Pirates, a little Penguins, who knows what else. Talk to you then.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.